Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Neil Courtney, the CEO of Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids. And founded in 1994 and franchising since 1995, Cookie Cutter Haircuts for Kids is one of the first and most unique children's haircutting franchises in the country. The unique store design includes an in-store playground and video games, making Cookie Cutter's Haircut a truly interactive experience. We're going to talk to Neil about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show. We're meeting with Neil Courtney, CEO of Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids. And founded in 1994 and franchising since 1995, Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids is one of the first and most unique children's haircutting franchises in the country. Hey, Neil, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Marty, how you doing? I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic, Neil. That's great. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Neil?
I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah, and I woke up this morning to 8 inches of snow.
You're kidding. You know, I didn't even watch the weather this morning. I wasn't expecting that response.
No, and you know, neither were we. We woke up this morning, and I couldn't believe it. I think everyone's a little shell-shocked, but we need it. The mountains need it. It's great for the skiing out here, and it's a great way to wake up, obviously, with beautiful white snow everywhere.
Those have been going out there for years, you know, and it's I haven't been out there, but it's such a beautiful place, you know, so that's really fantastic. And that's where your corporate headquarters is located, isn't it, Neil?
That's correct. It is now. We relocated the company from Indianapolis back in December of 2014.
That's fantastic. You know, we started this show 9 years ago, Neil, because we found that, you know, every franchise like yourself has a story. Maybe we can start off talking a little bit about the history of Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids, because I thought yours was particularly interesting, because you started off as a franchisee, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. 9 years ago, I was doing the corporate thing and just looking at ways to invest our money. I wanted to diversify in some tangible businesses. So Alexis and I started going out and just looking at different opportunities. And like most people, I got on BizBuySell and started talking to a broker and was really looking at businesses that interest me. I was a golfer, so I was looking at golf businesses, and I'm a big sports guy and a fitness guy, so I was looking at gyms. And then all of a sudden one day, Alexis came home and said, "Hey, I've got a great concept that we've got to look into." And we were in Utah, and of course in Utah there's kids everywhere.
Right.
And our daughter at the time, Neve, was 3 years old, and she wouldn't go anywhere for Erica. I mean, we took her to Great Clips. We took her to Alexis's stylist, and Neve wouldn't even enter the store before she would scream.
Right.
And it was just a very traumatic experience for her. And Alexis heard from a neighbor about Cookie Cutters. And at the time, they had one location in Utah, about 20 minutes out of downtown Salt Lake in a suburb called Draper. Mm-hmm. And Alexis found out about it, packed Neve in the car, took her down to Cookie Cutters. Neve went right in, sat in the chair, watched Dora the Explorer, got a really cute haircut, walked out with a balloon and a sucker, and the next day she woke up and said, "I want to go back to Cookie Cutters." So here's a girl at 3 who wouldn't even go into a hairdressing studio, and the next day she wakes up and says, "I want to go back to Cookie Cutters." So
it's almost like
that kind
of destiny.
My interest a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost like your destiny, you know, having that happen, you know, looking for that thing that's out there, you know, that needed, you know. And I was kind of like smiling as you're telling the story. You know, we had a very similar experience with our son. I mean, we were at the point of just almost like letting his hair grow long because it was almost like The Exorcist. He just did not want to get his hair cut. And I guess it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you have these sharp scissors coming at your head and you're a little kid and you don't understand what's happening to you, right?
Right, and most stylists that aren't trained and doing kids' haircuts every day, they lack the patience. And it's nothing against them. It's just not what they do on a daily basis.
Right.
And kids are tough. They're a moving target. Right? They're bobbing and weaving.
Of course.
And trying to get out of the way, to your point, of those shots.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it piqued my interest, and Alexis said, "Hey, we should really look into this." And I thought, Alexis, no way. Like, kids' hair salon, I didn't go to business school to open up a bunch of salons. And she said, "Go check it out." So I got in my car. I drove 25 minutes. I sat in the parking lot, and I just saw this constant flow of traffic. And, you know, people going in and coming out in 10, 15 minutes. And then I walked in the store, and I felt the kind of the environment a little bit just to experience it. Asking questions, the girls were really nice, kind of the Peter Lynch style of investing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go out and touch the things you're going to invest in.
Right.
And the next day, I called the franchisor in Indianapolis, the founder, Larry and Cookie Shelton, and said, hey, I'm in Utah. I know you have a current location, but I'm really interested in this. And he said, huh, funny that you're calling. I just talked to our franchisee last week. They're having triplets. They're a little overwhelmed, and they'd be interested in selling. And
wow.
The rest is somewhat history. We bought that location, and then we quickly ramped up to 7 locations across the Wasatch Front in Utah and became the master franchisee for the western part of the U.S. eventually. And then in December of last year, we ended up executing the transaction to buy out the founders, Cookie and Larry Shell. And we became the franchisors of Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids.
That's great. I love the story. How do you typically describe Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids? I mean, if you were at a franchise show, Neil, you and your wife, and someone came up to your booth and they said, so what do you guys do? Do you just cut children's hair? It's more than that, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely more than that. It's like I said with Neve, she came in and she wanted to come back the next day. So our goal is to leave an impression, not just with the kid, but also with the parent. So our motto,
right,
or mission, however you want to put it, is stress-free for parents and fun for kids. So we really stress the experience and the quality of the haircut. I mean, you always know walking around Salt Lake and the other cities where we have cookie cutters, you know our haircuts. We're on trend, we're cool, we're stylish, and the kids really enjoy coming back to us. In fact, we have a location here that's been open for about 7 years, and one of our stylists, Weston Hayes, he's been with us since the get-go, and he now has high school kids that he started cutting when they were 8 years old coming in to get their haircut still with Weston. So, again, it's leaving the impression so that people keep coming back, and like with Alexis, a neighbor told us about it. So word of mouth is huge for us. So, again, that impression is so important, and we're a very simple operation. We're very clean. We're fun. And we just try and keep it very inviting for both, again, the kid and the parent.
It's fantastic. I love this story, how you started off saying, you know, originally, being a sports enthusiast, that, you know, you were looking for something, you know, in sports. And it's always interesting how, you know, someone like yourself gets into, you know, another industry. You know, you look at the numbers and you look at the marketing and you said, you know, this is a great business model. So, I mean, I think it's fantastic. How does technology play a role in your business today, Neil?
Oh, technology is huge for us. Obviously, the day-to-day operations of our store is driven by a very solid point-of-sale system where there's online booking, there's a built-in loyalty system. So once you come into our store, we can constantly keep in communication with our customers. We can wish them happy birthday. We can tell them about incentives that we have going on. Technology for us on a day-to-day is extremely important from an in-store operation and execution standpoint. And then ongoing, obviously, just with the way that you have to communicate with your consumers today and connect with potential franchisees as well, it's all through social media, and it's all through just online conversation. So technology is huge for us, both for acquisition and retention of customers.
That's fantastic. I mean, this industry is pretty big, too. I mean, if we're looking at your market, Neil, it seems like it's a growing industry, and it's a big industry, isn't it?
It is. Haircutting alone is about a $6 to $7 billion industry.
Wow.
And extrapolating out of that, the 0 to 9 group, which we focus in on, is probably about 10% of that. So 600 to 700 million kids out there are getting their haircut. So it's really a huge market, and it's educating the consumer of what we can do. Because we do. We provide great service at a convenience and provide it at a value as well. So, again, educating the consumer is very important for us, letting them understand what we do, how we treat their children once they're in the store. And we add value for them, not just from a pocketbook standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint. You come in and it's stress-free.
And that's so important. Again, being a parent of a son who was, you know, he just started getting comfortable, Neil, with this whole thing of a haircut. You know, he's 8 years old now, but I can't tell you, I mean, the stress, and I guess you know because you went through it with your daughter, but I think there's a lot of parents that go through this, right? We thought that we were the only ones, you know, so it's always nice to talk to someone like yourself who went through a similar experience, but I think there's more people out there that have children like that that, you know, are terrified of getting their haircuts, and it was probably, I think, more stress on the parents than it even is on the child, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and that's why we focus stress-free for parents. And you can see it. If you go into one of the adult hair salons, you can see the tension on the parents' face.
Of course,
you walk into our store, and it's noisy, and kids are bouncing on the playground. And, you know, there's movies showing, and there's just an atmosphere where it's okay. And that's a big deal for parents. It's okay for your kids to let loose a little bit. And guess what? If they cry, that's normal. It's okay.
Right, absolutely.
And our stylists are trained to be able to manage kids, to have the patience with kids, which is oh so important.
Absolutely.
And obviously, you know, the ability to hit a moving target every once in a while.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. So what kind of characteristics then do you look for, you and your wife look for, in your franchisees, Neil? You had a significant background in business, but what kind of characteristics do you look for?
You know, I think you don't have to have the old traditional training in business, but I think it's very important that you have the savvy.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability and the personality to go out and really build relationships in that 3 to 5 mile radius around your store. That's so important, just from a community standpoint, to build those relationships with daycares and schools and the other children's services that are in your area. So having that communication, that personality, that business savvy is extremely important. I think secondarily, you've got to be passionate, right? This is not a regular business that, hey, if you asked me in business school, hey, Neil, would you be owning children's hair salons 15 years after graduation? I'd be like, are you nuts?
Right.
I'm going to be running PepsiCo or something. You've got to have the passion that, hey, I can turn something in that is relatively small into something that adds value to a consumer and creates a creative value for the community and for your own personal wealth and development. So I think passion is important. And then you have to have patience. And I think this is true for every business person. You got to be able to open a store, to build a store, to go with the ups and downs. We opened 2 stores in October of 2008, literally a week after the Great Recession started. And boy, that was stressful. And
of course,
your initial knee-jerk reaction is to, well, we got to get out. This isn't going to work. So you've got to have the patience and confidence to just manage the system as it's meant to be managed and know that if you execute properly, you build those relationships, you're passionate, and you have the patience, things will eventually work out. But you find a lot, and I've seen it in other industries too with franchisees, you know, they expect that as soon as they turn on the sign and open the doors, the business is going to be booming.
Exactly.
And with any new business, franchise or not, there's a ramp-up period. And you've got to be patient throughout that ramp-up period, and you've got to focus on executing and sticking to your plan.
Yeah, I think that's well said. How does the training work, Neil? I mean, once, you know, they decide, you know, you like them, they like you, and they decide to become a franchisee, do they come out to Utah for training? Is that how it works?
And we have a very involved training program. And I kind of take the approach, and I've worked with different franchise organizations. And in my experience, a lot of times there's too much time spent in the classroom.
Right.
Obviously, we spend time in the classroom, but I would say 80% of our training is done in-store. And actually, the last 2 days of our training, you're on your own. So we make you walk the plank, and we push you in. Our trainers aren't around. You're actually, as a franchisee, you're running our store. So you're managing the chaos of the day, the kids bouncing around, the walk-ins coming in. You know, any problems that may arise, you're dealing with it. So that first-hand experience, I think, is so important and gives the new franchisee a lot more confidence, especially with the POS system and, you know, how do I deal with the flow of the store? I'm not just telling them how to do it in the classroom, I'm actually expecting them to do it while they're here with us not around. And that's the other great thing about our model is it's very intuitive. It's a simple operating model. if you have a smile on your face and you have some energy and you provide great customer service, you're not going to screw up that bad.
Right, right. What I like about your background, too, Neil, is that you were a franchisee. I mean, this is typically how you started off, and you have this ability to put your feet in this, you know, in the franchisee's shoes. You know, you can empathize with them, and that doesn't always happen in franchising. And doing the show such a long time now, I was impressed that, you know, this is how you started off, and now, you know, you're more on the corporate end or the franchisor end of it, you know, and I think that helps you as well, doesn't it?
It does. I think it brings a very different perspective to leadership and just creation of strategies from a franchisor perspective, because we've been there. You know, I've had $500,000 worth of debt out on these stores and building them up. I know what it's like to lose sleep, whether or not, you know, your holiday season is going to be a success. So I get it. So you nailed it. The empathy is there for sure. And I think that empathy is very important as you're creating strategies and pushing that execution of the strategy to the franchisees, because you have to understand what they're going through. You have to have the experience of being in the trenches, and that's something that we offer. We've been there. I mean, and it's not like we've been there for a year. We've been through the ups and downs of this for 9 years. We've opened stores. We've worked with different franchisees. So we get it, and we've seen it, and we've dealt with the issues that arise. And you're exactly right, man. It creates an empathy that is very invaluable and provides a lot of upside for our current franchise base and new franchisees too.
Sure, absolutely. So what's a typical day like for, you know, our listeners who are listening and they say, you know what, this sounds like a great opportunity. It's a great industry. And again, you've been doing it such a long time now. I mean, what's a typical day like as a franchisee, Neil?
You know, and that's the other great thing about our model, Marty, is it's very simple and it's very repetitive. So our hours are very standard. So we open up a store at 9:30. We have our stylists who are very well trained, open the doors, and we start welcoming customers, whether you have an appointment, which can be booked online, or you book after your last appointment, or you just give us a call and make an appointment. Or you have a walk-in, someone that has heard about us and has walked in and said, hey, do you have anything available? So we manage the flow of our customer base throughout the day. And it's kind of like Groundhog Day, the movie, Marty. Day by day is pretty much the same thing. But if you think about that from a consistency and ease of operation for a potential franchisee and an operator, it kind of takes out the standard deviation of, you know, what surprises are going to happen today? What oops is going to happen? And is my delivery for lettuce going to happen? With us, it's the girls show up, customers come, and we do our thing. We, again, stress-free for parents, fun for kids. We create that atmosphere, and we provide great haircuts. And that's the day, and that's what I loved about this model when I was looking into it, Marty, is just the simplicity of operations. Mm-hmm. The day-to-day operations are so simple.
Which makes your model great. You know, it has all those characteristics for franchising, doesn't it, Yale? I mean, this model can be duplicated from Salt Lake City all the way to Portland, Maine, to probably even the rest of the world, if you think about it. You know, I mean, it's a concept that can be easily duplicated and learned, isn't it?
It is, and that's really the art of franchising, right?
Sure,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's very easily replicated. Execution, store to store, is very similar to us. You know, our training manual is very thorough. And that's the other thing that really attracted me to Cookie Cutters 9 years ago was I really was attracted to their operations and the simplicity of and the way they walk through the manual. And I felt like if we could do the things that they highlighted, this makes a lot of sense. And with most franchises, it's put in the right location, you hire the right people, and you execute according to plan. You know, in most cases, things will work out, and you'll get that return on investment that you've expected.
That's well said. A lot of our listeners are kind of like yourself, Neil. I mean, a lot of them have that, you know, business background, you know, or they're looking to do something different. You know, they're looking to do something on their own. And many of our listeners, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. It seems like most of them want to get into franchising, but they simply just don't know where to begin because there's so much out there today, as you know. What advice would you give them from all of your experience of actually doing this? What would you say to them in their quest to buy a franchise?
Well, I think the first thing is don't be myopic. Don't focus on one concept.
Right.
Really sit down and look at the operations model, look at the existing finance model, look at the return on investment, and try and take the subjectivity out of it. I think if you can look at something objectively and not get emotional around, ooh, that is a sexy business. I really like it.
Right.
Or because it's the hottest thing going. Obviously, that's great, but I think you've got to be able to remove yourself and look at it objectively. And there's a lot of things that go on into that. What's going on in your own personal life? What is your risk tolerance? What is your experience? What can you stomach? Can you manage inventory? There's so many questions that you need to ask yourself.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is you've got to have an open mind. Just like I did. Again, you asked me in business school, hey, Neil, would you be owning children's hair salons? I'd be like, are you crazy?
You're crazy.
No way. But I took a step back and I looked at it from an operations and a finance perspective and just thought, wow, this is great. So I think that's the first piece of advice. Look at the entire model, look at it from an operations and financial perspective and see if it fits your needs and what you're looking for from a financial return and hurdle standpoint. And you've got to look at risk, competition, all the external economic factors that could potentially impact your business. That's the other great thing about hair care is people are always going to need their haircut, recession or not.
That's
now,
true.
People might not come as often, but they're still going to come.
That's true.
So you've got to look at it from a, hey, what happens if there's another recession?
Right.
How's that going to impact my business? So you've got to be forward-looking as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic advice.
And the other big thing I would advise entrepreneurs looking at franchising is I think sometimes in general there's an assumption that, hey, if I buy a franchise, that means that's my ticket to success.
Right.
That means all the work's been done for me, and as soon as I take my fee and open the store, I don't have to do any work. And that is so far from the truth. I mean, the franchise model gives you something very specific that you can go out and execute. But the key word there is execute.
Sure.
You can't just expect for something as soon as you open the doors to work. And I think a lot of people investing in franchising think, hey, I could be absent. I could be an absentee owner. And because it's a franchise, it's going to work. With a franchise, like everything else, whether it be a Chick-fil-A, a Subway, an Aaron's, cookie cutters, as a franchisee, you got to get in there and you got to be willing to roll up your sleeves and work. It's like any other business out there. You've got to get outside of your four walls. You've got to build those relationships. You've got to be present. And you've got to be known as the owner franchisee of your business. And, you know, I think that's a misconception that is sometimes overlooked. And it startles people when they say, well, I bought a franchise. I thought it was going to be a lot easier. Well, they give you the tools, but you still have to go out and execute against those strategies that are provided. And that's something that just really has to be emphasized is you still got to run your business, man. You still got to put in the sweat equity.
Right.
And you still got to make it work. And if things are tough, you got to rely on yourself executing the tools that the franchisor provides to you.
Yeah, I would have totally agree with that. And doing this show 9 years now, we've found that too, Neil, is that, you know, there are a lot of people out there. In fact, we've even referenced some of the stories, even some very big-name franchisees. I remember on one show we were doing a couple of years ago, we were talking about a franchisee to Subway, and he was surprised at how many hours he was working during a typical week. I think it was almost like 60 to 90 hours, you know, and he was shocked. You know, he thought, okay, well, it's Subway. It's you know, they have 36,000 units, so all he had to do was just open it, turn on the lights, and everything else would happen. And it doesn't work that way for any franchise, does it? I mean, as you said, use the word sweat equity. I think for any franchise, you have to put – they say that first year is a lot of sweat equity, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot. And I think if you go into something like a franchise expecting for just a, you know, if I build it, they will come, I think you're setting yourself up for some disappointment and potential failure.
Sure.
That first year is so important. whether it's a McDonald's or, you know, a mom-and-pop shop, you got to get in there and you got to build the infrastructure of your store.
Absolutely. So I can ask you this question now. I mean, you're the CEO of the company. I mean, so where do you see cookie cutters, haircuts for kids, you know, maybe like 3 to 5 years down the road now, Neil?
Well, since we've acquired the brand, we've had a lot of momentum. We've got multi-unit agreements signed in Colorado, working on some other deals. We got a big area developer deal signed in the Mid-Atlantic for 6 states. So we've got some great momentum. There's great opportunity in this segment. And I believe over the next, you know, 5 years, we hope to open anywhere from 20 to 45 stores a year and get up to that 250 mark. And then, you know, I think momentum will serve us well. And obviously, as you scale and you grow, further opportunities present themselves. And
right.
It's a credibility thing. And, you know, I think we've done a really good job in a short amount of time. This is not a new business. Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids has been around for 20 years.
Right,
it's a proven model. We're not going anywhere. And I think the service which we provide and the business model that we're offering is extremely competitive and provides potential franchisees with a great opportunity to create personal wealth. And it's a fun business. I mean, you're dealing with kids. And
true.
There's nothing better than that. You're providing a service. And it's great to see parents and kids walking out of your store with a smile. It's very rewarding. And
absolutely.
To see people come back 6-7 times a year.
That's
awesome. Right? And
yeah,
to see customers come, you know, 16-year-old kids still coming in from the time that they were 8. You know, it's cool. And asking for the same stylist. I mean, it's a great model. And, you know, I see great things ahead. And it's a segment that, like I said, is 600 to 700 million. And the population of kids is growing in this country. And it's, you know, it's a segment that's going to not go anywhere. And kids need their haircut.
I think that's well said. What's the best way, Neil, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Should they go to the website? Any numbers that they should call?
Yeah, go to the website. That's the best place
mm-hmm.
to go.
Okay.
www.haircutsarefun.com, and then we've got kidscuts.com as well. Go out there. You can learn all about our brand, our model. You can see where we are from a location standpoint. If you are interested in a potential franchise, there's an application that you can fill out. It's a very short form, and we'll get back to you quickly. Our turnaround time is extremely fast. And then you can call our corporate office, and that number as well is on the website. So, you know, the best place to go nowadays is to the web.
Sure,
it's
absolutely.
Fast, it's convenient, and it's instant service, right?
That's great. And it's a great website, by the way. I've been to it, of course, and it is a fantastic website. So I think you guys did a great job with that.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
So it was my pleasure, Neil. It was great to have you on the show, and I'd like to invite you back next year as you guys continue to grow. I think this is a wonderful concept, and I wish I knew about you guys when I was, you know, my son was going through his early days of freaking out, you know, but I think this is a great and wonderful concept. So it's something that we're going to keep our eye on.
Awesome. I really appreciate your time, Marty, and I welcome the opportunity, and have a great holiday season.
You too, Neil. It was great to have you on the show.
And I wish you all the best going into 2016.
Absolutely. Thanks, Neil. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. Or you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Today's Great Quote in Franchising is being brought to you by
franchise teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, rich podcast you get to hear, a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes and lessons on our show. And if you go to our About Us page on franchiseinterviews.com, you'll take notice on why we started the podcast and radio show Franchise Interviews, and it suggests that every business has a story, and that's really been our experience in doing all of these podcasts and radio shows. Is every show we do, you'll notice that every franchisor, every franchisee has an amazing story related to franchising. Today's Great Quote in Franchising podcast comes from Tony Luffy. Tony Luffy is the Chief Executive Officer of the Marlou Investment Group. And the Marlou Investment Group are franchise owners of some very popular franchise systems such as Little Caesars, Sizzler, Jack in the Box, Arby's, Church's Chicken, and most recently Sears Appliance and Hardware Stores. And Tony talks about the difference between opportunity and regret. There's another great quote relating to opportunity. And again, we talk a lot about opportunity on our weekly radio show. It's said that luck is when opportunity meets preparation. But let's hear what Tony says about the difference between opportunity and regret.
That we've been able to do on a large scale.
It's amazing. If you go back to the beginning, Tony, I mean, were your goals, today, you're as large as like 200 plus units, but I mean, back then, I mean, when you go back to the beginning, I mean, was that your goal in the beginning, or was this kind of like a natural progression over time?
It's both. Really, when I, in the early 90s, when I finally became a partner, a 10% partner of a small company, I wanted to get to 50 units before I turned 50. So I don't know if that goal was really feasible in my head, but that was the dream. But the goal, the most important part of it was I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I wanted to be independent, and I wanted to allow my ability to manage people and work with people to develop into something that was bigger. I didn't know the size. Nor did I plan for it to be a number of revenue, whether it's 10 million or 5 million, whatever it was.
Right,
it was
right.
Really finding a way to make a living and support my family at the same time satisfying my personal need, which is to be an entrepreneur. And really, once that took place, it was more about the opportunities that came our way. And I always say the difference between opportunity and regret is being ready. So if you're ready, you see the opportunity as an opportunity. Otherwise, you spend a lifetime regretting the fact that you missed the opportunity. So to me, it's about being ready. And I've always worked so hard to make sure that we are ready for whenever that opportunity came our way.
That's fantastic. We have this great quotes in franchising podcast. We're gonna put that quote in there, Tony, if you don't mind. I think that's very powerful. Maybe we could talk a little bit about your company. I mean, the Marlowe Investment Group.
If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Tony Luffy, all you have to do is go to franchiseinterviews.com, and you can go to our franchises listed alphabetically page and simply go to the Marlowe Investment Group, and you can hear that whole interview. We have that interview also in our About Us page, and you can go to Franchise Interviews by category as well and go under the food category, because that's where most of Tony's franchises are located within his portfolio. And lastly, we'd just like to thank everyone for making this podcast such a tremendous success. It's amazing how many people have listened to the podcast over the years, so it's really been wonderful, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.